当然成年人唱了嘛，对呀，唱了。
那不止如此，而且像
So then in Tibet。We have actually three different versions of Tantra. One is that Tantra, which is actually translated from the Indian sources into Tibetan language. And the other one is what Guru Padmasambhava in Sami complex. So he gave those very esoteric teachings of Tantra to some selected students, and then intended for those future generations. So he has also then hidden many of the sources, teachings, and so forth, which are called as the teaching in the form of treasure, the treasury. And then the third one is called as the tradition in relation to pure vision. So this is something prevalent not only in Nyingma, it is also prevalent in the Gagyu, Geluk, and Sakya. So that is actually a practitioner through his practice in relation to a specific deity. He would have a pure vision, and thereby he would be then granted all kinds of teachings. Teachings by that very deity. So that kind of teaching would be called as the teaching belonging to the category of the pure vision. And then in terms of the teaching, there is another way of classifying the teachings. So one teaching specifically meant for a very specific kind of disciple, and the other one which is more pervasive, which is more generally acceptable. So these belong to the treasure aspect of the teachings, could be belonging to those, to the selected students. So there are times whereby we see there are some deceptive treasure teachings, teaching the form of treasure, and also there are deceptive pure vision teachings. And then also you find some teachings who are among the translations from the Indian sources, Tibetan translations from Indian sources, and then crediting the text, although not actually written by, composed by Nagarjuna, but in the end, in the colophon, you'll find a mention of the name Nagarjuna. So trying to really deceive, with the intention of deceiving. So these things are also available. So as said in the essence of eloquence, so in the essence of eloquence by Tsongkhapa, he says that this text called Kalejigme. So in the end, in the colophon, there is the mention of the author to be Nagarjuna. But when Lama Tsongkhapa tries to really read through the text, he realized that there is a quotation from Aryadeva, who indeed is the student of Nagarjuna. So then Lama Tsongkhapa then decided that this is not the authentic teachings of writing of Nagarjuna. Because how can a teacher possibly cite a quotation from a student? And there's also one sadhana or ritual in relation to Guhya Samaj Tantra, who is then again in the colophon. So in the colophon, you find that is composed by Nagarjuna. So then Lama Tsongkhapa says that very ritual in relation to Guhya Samaj Tantra, which is so claimed to have been authored by Nagarjuna. So Lama Tsongkhapa says that there is actually a deception. Then Lama Tsongkhapa says that again, that ritual, which is attributed to the author attributed to Nagarjuna, he said that no, this is deceptive, because in the Nagabodhi, who is one of the principal student of Nagarjuna, so in his text, in relation to the commentary on the rituals of the Gautama Tantra, the 20 sadhanas, so there is no there isn't the slightest mention of that text, which is kind of deceptively believed to be authored by Nagarjuna. So the Lama Tsongkhapa says that it doesn't hold true. So that is not authored by Nagarjuna. And then also His Holiness once heard about many volumes of the commentarial text on the wisdom of emptiness, kind of ascribed to Nagarjuna as the author. And again, His Holiness just wondered if that is true, because if that is the case, if there are tremendous amount of huge volumes of sources of Nagarjuna about emptiness, so why not these great followers of Nagarjuna like Aryadeva, Chandragiri, and so forth, cite any from these sources? So as such, His Holiness was just saying that, oh, all these are just probably very likely fake, that it is composed by Nagarjuna. And then His Holiness just humorously saying that, oh, it's just so strange that Nagarjuna has such an enormous amount of volumes on the perfection of wisdom. So, as such, it is very crucial for us to see the authenticity of whatever teaching it may be, whether it be belong to the treasure category or usual teachings. And even if that teaching is something meant for just some kind of selected individuals, and if in terms of the deep inner content, so if it really tallies or conforms to the generally accepted teachings, so it should be there should be no kind of flaw, even if there is a slight contradiction in terms of the usage of terms or the at the literal or the surface level. Digressions from what we were speaking on the main point. As such, so there is a possibility of being fooled over seeing some kind of text which seems to be so authentic by the titles, very elegant titles and so forth. So you should be very cautious about these things. Just try to see the authenticity of those texts that you're going to read or depend on. So there's an account in relation to Chisumila Rinpa, one of the greatest practitioner who has achieved full enlightenment within a single lifetime. So at first, he was just an ordinary person, and then he was involved in actions, very cunning actions, harsh actions of killing many people. And then later on, through regret, he went in search of proper teachings and practice. So he went there, and he eventually met with the Dharma teacher. And then he asked that teacher, please, I'm such a kind of sinful person, please teach me and that you can really lead me to the state of enlightenment. And that teacher told him that, oh, don't worry, I have such instruction which is so powerful. If you meditate on the daytime, you can be liberated on that very day. And if you meditate on the night, you can be liberated on that very night. And this, and for those fortunate ones, so without meditation, he can be liberated. And Milarepa thought that, oh, I must be the one who is very fortunate one. Because when I was kind of involved in practicing the black magic, I was very fortunate. I did that very successfully. And now after having committed all these sinful actions, so again, I'm getting such a kind of powerful, very effective teachings, dharma. Now, so then, Jizumilara thought that, oh, indeed, I'm the one who is the most fortunate one. So just look at how successful I am. I was in relation to practicing the black magic. And again, now look, after committing all these sinful actions, I've encountered this such marvelous teaching. So indeed, so now I'm the one, actually very fortunate one. So there's no need for me to meditate. So I can be liberated this very day without meditation. And then he lied down and slept. So the next day, when the teacher came, he asked, what kind of signs did you have? And then he said, nothing, not even a good dream. And then the teacher said that, oh, now, you have right from the beginning, you have indeed said that you are such a sinful person. Indeed, it really signifies, or it really is very true that you are such a sinful person, and you have actually defiled my instruction. So it is better you go away from me. And then he kind of instructed him to go to see his kind of karmically linked teacher, Marpa. And then when he encountered with this Marpa, the great translator, as his teacher, so the Marpa, instead of giving such a discourse so easy, so he tortured him so terribly. And because of that, and then as a sign of purification of his sinful deeds, so eventually then he became such a realized, accomplished master. And then even after having encountered with Marpa and having practiced well, so he put so much of efforts in meditation. So it is through these efforts that he eventually achieved full enlightenment and be of great service to many beings. So again, if you look at the very image of the Buddha Shakyamuni while he was involved in the 6 years of penance. So this image right behind me. So when I was very small, there is the picture of this very slim and thin aspect of the Buddha Shakyamuni when he was in 6 years of penance, meditation. So I saw that, and that was so effective to me when I was very small. So actually the original statue of this is there in Pakistan. And then, so if you look at how the Buddha Shakyamuni achieved enlightenment, so the soul teacher, our soul teacher, so even he has not achieved, it is not the case that he has achieved enlightenment in a very easy way. So he strove so hard, undergone so much of pains and efforts, 6 years of penance, 6 years of single-pointed serious meditation that eventually led to his enlightenment. So if this is the case with our soul teacher, Buddha Shakyamuni, so no need to speak of us. So we should really need to look at this picture, look at this image of the Buddha Shakyamuni during 6 years of penance more often to extract inspiration, than to extract encouragement and inspiration from him. An example, take him as an example. So we finish. So you all have listened with great enthusiasm, noted down a lot. So I really felt, very thankful to all of you for your tremendous enthusiasm and interest. So, when you go back, the notes that you have so written, so don't leave them among the dusts. So tomorrow, the empowerment of Avalokiteshvara, so it's going to be at 9 a.m. So I'll be coming here at around 8 for I have to do the preliminary rituals. So morning we'll be finishing the empowerment. So tomorrow at 2 p.m. So the Tibetans after finishing the morning empowerment, so you can leave. And then there is the Taiwanese, and should there be others who are interested, you can come. So should there be any questions, we can do the question and answers at 2, here in this very place, the same place where we did the entire teaching.